Hey, this is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 129.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Alex is ready to answer your questions and provide you with the tools you need to succeed in real estate, all through case studies, current real-life transactions, and proven marketing strategies. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey guys, it's Alex here. I got another Q&A show for you here. I'm excited about today's episode because it's a bit of a twist. It's something that I haven't done in the past, and I think you guys will get a lot of benefit from. So I want to invite you to kind of be a fly on the wall. I'm going to peel back the curtains here, and I'm going to, in a second here, I'm going to play for you our internal acquisition manager training. So this is a training that I do on a weekly basis with my two acquisitions managers. And so what I did was we recorded it. So here's what you're going to check out. And the reason I'm doing this, guys, is because I've gotten several questions thrown my way as it relates to, you know, hey, Alex, how do you train your team? What do you train on? Like, do you have a specific agenda? How do you run the meeting? You know, how often do you do it? And so what I want to do here is quickly talk about that. And then I'm actually going to play this acquisition manager training that we recently had. So you kind of get an idea for what we talk about, what we do. And maybe this is something that you can model on your team with your acquisitions or salespeople, or if you're going to hire somebody in the future, maybe you can take away something from this particular episode. Number one, training is something that needs to happen on a daily or at least weekly basis, right? It's like going to the gym. It's like showering. You don't just do it once and that's it. And so one of the things that we do is every single week on Tuesdays, we have an acquisition manager training where we do role playing, we do objection handling, we do Q&A, and we just spend about 30 to 45 minutes just doing training on how we can convert more leads to appointments and how to convert more appointments to deals. And then every single morning, we do about 15 to 20 minutes of just straight role-playing. And we alternate with my acquisitions people. So this is an acquisition manager training that we had where we, you know, I addressed some things at the beginning of the call. We did some Q&A. We talked about some objection handlers. And then we did some role-playing where one of my acquisitions managers acted as a seller. And the other acquisitions manager was herself as the acquisitions rep for our company. And this is actually somebody who recently joined our team as a full-time employee. And so she had never done this and she's just a quick learner and she's, you'll kind of see, you know, how she processes the call. And part of the reason that we do the role playing and we do training on a daily basis is because you want your team to fumble and make mistakes on the training. That's the purpose, is, you know, iron sharpens iron. And the more you can get your people comfortable on the phone, comfortable in front of sellers, the better they're going to do, the more leads they're going to convert to appointments and appointments to deals. So having said that, I want to invite you to be a fly in the wall. This was a live acquisition manager training that I did with both of my acquisitions managers. And so, yeah, I hope you enjoy it. I've never done anything like this, but I thought it would make for a cool episode. And at the same time, you know, deliver value and have you guys get some content. Hopefully, you'll grab something that you can implement on your team. And let me know your thoughts. You know, I talked about, you know, recently how I'm putting together a small group consulting program limited to 30 people. That they have access to me, you know, for questions on a webinar every 2 weeks, in addition to some other exclusive content. If you have any, you know, if you're somebody that you think you can benefit from just asking questions and being around a small group of community of other wholesalers and investors that are, you know, up-leveling their game and taking their business to a new level, reach out to me, alex@flipempire.com. And I'd love to talk to you about more about it. You know, definitely one of the things that we're going to be covering is building a team and, you know, training and hiring acquisitions people, etc. So with that said, I hope you guys really enjoy this unique episode where you kind of get a behind the scenes look at some internal training that I have that I just completed with my acquisitions managers. And again, this is something that we do on a daily and weekly basis. So enjoy it. Let me know your thoughts and I'll catch you on the backside.
Hey guys. Okay. Awesome. So yeah, before we get started on the acquisition manager training here, and because one of the things I'd like to do is the role playing. I really think that, you know, ever since we started, you know, carving out 15, 20 minutes every morning to do the role playing, like I've seen a big improvement in you guys. Like both of you guys are doing awesome as far as, you know, not only sticking to the script, but just using all the tools at your disposal, right? Like Elizabeth, you with the diagnostic, you know, using the diagnostic drill, and Leo, mm-hmm. as far as, you know, using softening statements, you know, Socratic questions is something I think we can sprinkle in a little more of, but yeah, I mean, I think you guys are doing awesome for real. So, the one thing before we get to some role playing, and even before we do the role playing, I want to kind of open it up to you guys for like anything in specific you want us to focus on or any questions you might have. But Leo, I appreciate you pitching in and giving Elizabeth like your feedback on the you know, that particular call that she took, as you know, when you mentioned about the tax defaults. And I saw, Elizabeth, that you responded that you didn't even realize it. So, and hopefully right. You took it the right way, because obviously we're all trying to help each other out. And I'm glad you picked that up, because yeah, you definitely, I think it's worth just mentioning it here, even though I know you got it. Definitely not. I would never really mention to a homeowner or somebody that we're speaking to on the phone that we're specifically targeting them because of A, B, or C reason, right? So like, you wouldn't want to say, you know, we send out mail to people that are behind on taxes or something like that, because it, I don't know, it could just come across the wrong way, and they could feel, you know, if I'm in their shoes, I could see how that could be a little threatening and or just flat out piss them off.
Right.
So I think it was good that, I'm glad it happened, on that, Leo, that you caught it, and vice versa. E, if you hear one of Leo's calls, or, you know, even when I hop on the phone or whatever, you hear something with me and, you know, you, it comes across the wrong way, or like you're curious about it, or you just don't think you should do that. Like, you know, that we have, which we always have, we've had that open relationship, you know, that virtual open door policy where we could talk to each other and say, hey, you know, this, and this, right?
Appreciate
you being like coachable about that. And Leo, good job like catching that, because I agree with you there. Cool. Mm-hmm. I guess before we do any role playing, do you guys want to, is there anything in specific you want to kind of key or focus in on? Any areas that you think you're still not feeling 100% comfortable in? I mean, when I hear you guys, I think you got it down. You know, like you're very mm-hmm. comfortable on the phone. At least that's how it sounds. But whether it's the diagnostic drill, or whether it's Socratic questions, softening statements, or just any specific scenarios that you've encountered on the phone. I know, you know, Leo, you dealt with a hostile seller. I saw in Poria, you tagged it as a rant. Just anything in general that you guys want to kind of focus in on, or maybe even role playing like at the seller's house instead of on the phone. I mean, I'll kind of leave it up to you guys, because Tuesdays going forward, what I want to do is, instead of carving out 15, 20 minutes in the morning to do role playing and then spending another half hour, like mid morning, doing the actual training, let's just combine them. It makes no sense to have two separate calls. Let's just combine them. And so Tuesday's training will be an extra, like, instead of going 8:45 to 9, we'll probably just go from 8:45 to 9:15 or 9:20 and just knock it out that way.
All right.
Yeah. It makes sense that way better.
Okay. Awesome. So yeah, I mean, you guys let me know, is there anything in particular you want to kind of key in on, or do you just want to like stick to just role playing for now?
I don't have anything that comes to mind. Leo, do you have anything?
Not really. At this point, the way I think when I take calls, is that I try, because every call is different, right? Like every people is, they think differently and they act differently. So what I do is I try to apply all the tactics that I know, you know, and softening statements, picture perfect, hit on the pain, problem questions mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So, you know, I'll say practice them all at the same time. You'll be good. Kind of like sharpening those skills.
Yeah. Okay. I was looking through some of John's materials, and there was a section on, you know, the problem questions, impact questions, picture perfect. You know, an example of a problem question that I saw in one of the documents is, you know, why are you considering selling this property? Right. You know, I'm just curious. It sounds like a great property. You know, what made you look into selling it? Like, that's a perfect lead-in question to get to an impact question, because if they hint any type of motivation or distress, like, oh, the property's been vacant for years, or, oh, I had a family member pass away, it's like a perfect segue into an impact question, like, depending on what they say, like, oh, how long has that been going on? Or, you know, how has that had an impact or an effect on you and your family? Right. And then from there, it's whatever they say, it doesn't matter what they say. It's also another perfect segue into the picture perfect question. Like, you know, what would it be like if you didn't have to worry about this property anymore, and, you know, you don't have to worry about paying the taxes and the maintenance and all that kind of stuff. So, I wanted to kind of highlight that, because I was looking through some of the documents and that jumped out at me. Like, impact questions and picture perfect questions to me were always pretty easy. It was like, what was a good problem question to kind of kick things off? And that question of why are you considering selling, or, you know, what made you look into selling, is pretty much something part of the script that we always ask. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's like a dagger to the pain, sort of.
Yeah. It really starts the whole process. Right. And then, yeah, Leo, the other thing to mention is, I know we were talking about it, when you do, and I don't know, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if John discussed something different when you guys were at the sales boot camp, but when you guys set the price anchor, one of the ways that you guys can kind of lead into that is saying, well, listen, if they keep pressing you for a number, well, listen, typically houses in this area have sold for as low as blank, you know, up to blank. And obviously that range you give, you don't want to, the high end, you don't want to take them all the way up to the ARV, right? To the after repair value. So like, if the ARV is, you know, 200 and we're looking to buy this thing in the low 100s, you know, you might say, well, look, you know, typically houses in this neighborhood, or we've bought houses in this area, anywhere between, you know, 90 and 130. So kind of give yourself enough breathing room there when you set the price anchor, that you don't tie yourself into too small of a range where they just kind of get turned off so much. You know, because I think, Leo, in the example that you gave me yesterday, like, you had given her a range that was only separated by like 15 grand, or maybe it was like 20 grand. I remember it not being a very big enough range. So like, in that example, if the ARV is 200, you don't want to say, oh, well, typically, you know, we're buying properties in this area, or houses have sold for as low as 100 to 115.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. It was actually like from 80 to 115. So it was about 35,000. But I think
tight. Right. Okay. And Elizabeth, what was the, I remember you had sent me a screenshot when you were at the training, that there was a really good one about the attorneys, right? Because that's, I feel like lately you guys have been getting more and more objections about, oh, I need to have my attorney review it. Can you like quickly talk about that?
I can. Yes. So we touched on that. When they said, what John was like, perfect. You know what? I don't have a problem with that. Usually my sellers that go to their attorneys, I mean, I've never gotten a contract rejected, and it happens all the time. Like, I want to make sure you're okay with it. I want you to feel safe, and I want you to run it by whoever you need to run it. And we've never had an issue with one of our clients, with one of our sellers, you know, taking the contract to their attorney, just making them feel like that step that they're going to take is okay. Mm-hmm. And we're not even like, we're not, clearly we have nothing to be scared of, because what's in there, you know, there's nothing in there. There's no illegalities or anything like that. But John said, perfect. I mean, we've never had a problem with an attorney at all. And of course it happens all the time where sellers want the contract to be reviewed by an attorney. Like, it's completely logical and understandable and all that. Yeah. I'm trying to look for it. Did I send it to you directly or to?
I want to say you, I'm trying to find it as well. It was to the chat. It's okay. See if you can bring it up. I came across, and maybe we can circle back to that one, because I thought it was a really good way to handle that objection. There was another objection where the prospect, you know, basically says, look, your offer's too low, or something to that effect. And I'm going to kind of summarize here, but you know, you or the salesperson would say, well, listen, you know, I can really appreciate that you feel that way, but let me ask you a question. I know that at this point you don't believe it's worth taking that offer, but if you did, you know, if you truly came to believe that our company could solve any problems that you might have, would you take the offer? Something to that effect is basically what it says. If you truly believe that my company and I could solve the problems you've been talking about in a way that was superior to what anyone else could do, would you take that offer? So, and obviously you can put that in your own words if that doesn't sound natural to you. But I think that was a really good way to handle that objection, which we hear all the time, right? The offer's too low. So maybe that's something that we can, when we do the role playing, whoever's the seller can throw that in there. Your offer's too low. And I forgot, Leo, I think it's your turn to do the role playing. So Leo, maybe when you be the seller, at some point throw in the fact, hey, your offer's too low. And then on top of that, also throw in at some point towards the end, well, listen, I want to have my attorney review it. That way Elizabeth can practice on those, you know, handling objections.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Elizabeth, hey, before we start role playing, you found that objection handler on the attorney?
I did. So this is what you're supposed to say. So if they tell you that they want to ask their attorney, you ask them, okay, after your attorney reviews it, which I'm confident that they will, that they will say yes, because we've never had any issues, what will happen next? They're going to say yes. And what will happen next? What's going to be your next step to take?
Right. Yep. I got it.
So that's exactly what I wrote down from John.
Perfect. Yeah. So it's addressing, I should say, the objection head on and then moving right on. Mm-hmm. Right. So exactly. It's similar to like when they ask you, well, how'd you get my number? Right. Or, you know, why do I keep getting these mailers? So you answer the question, but you don't even like, you just move right on to the next thing. You know, I think about that whole statement that says, you know, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
true.
It kind of goes in line with it. It's like, you don't even give them a chance to really like go down that rabbit hole and get like sucked in by that whole objection. Like just address it and boom, you move on to the next point.
Yeah. And then the other one, Alex, really quickly before we jump into the role playing, I found a screenshot of the PowerPoint. So the prospect says your offer is too low. What you're supposed to say is, what John has here is, I can appreciate that you feel that way, but can I ask you a question? I know that at this point, you don't believe it's worth taking my offer. But if you did, I mean, if you truly came to believe that my company and I could solve the problems we've been talking about in a way that was superior to what anyone else could do, would you take that offer? And then that's when he says that 9 out of 10 times, the prospect will say yes. So then that's when you say, so let's deal with the real issue. The real issue is not that my offer is too low. The real issue is that you don't believe we're worth it. So then you go like back into the pain and you know, you move out the offer being too low out of the way.
Exactly. And that's right.
It's just a way of, it's just a way of making it yours, where it like flows naturally, because if you read it, you're like, oh my God, I'm sounding robotic at this point. But, you know.
Yeah, it sounds maybe too salesman if you sound robotic. You know what I mean? Like if I were a seller, I'll be like, you know. But yeah, it's a good introduction to heat back on the pain again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a good point, guys, that you bring up with all of this. Remember, one of the first things we talked about is that handling objections and following a script doesn't make you sound robotic. It's not feeling comfortable with the script. In other words, reading word for word, not internalizing the script, not knowing like the back of your hands how to handle an objection. That's what's going to make you sound robotic. And part of it is just using your own words, right? So if using the word, for example, superior, like if that just doesn't sound like you and it doesn't, then, you know, change the word, but you want to keep the essence of how to handle that objection, right? And that's why we're investing time every single morning to role playing, so that this becomes like second nature to you. Like you know, you guys, mm-hmm. you guys wake up, you chances are in some order, you go to the bathroom, you brush your teeth, and you know, so it, you don't have to think about it. Like, you just do it. Right. And that's kind of the, yeah. the example that comes to mind. That's how we want to get on these calls. Like, somebody throws out an objection or they throw out a scenario, you don't even have to think about it. It just comes to you and it's natural and you know how to handle it, you know?
Mm-hmm. True.
Perfect.
Yeah, awesome. It happened yesterday when okay, we did cool. it, when we did the role play.
As far as what part of it?
Remember how we were when we did it yesterday, I don't think Leo was on the call or was he? I'm not sure. They had the parents, and then you sort of told me whenever they have, the guy wasn't the decision maker, whenever they have parents, try to get right then and there for you to try to get them on a phone call. So it's just like, okay, there's two more. Let me see if I can get them on the phone right now instead of meeting with him, you know, something like right. that I learned yesterday. I mean, I knew it, but you sort of like reminded me of it yesterday on the role playing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Cool. All right, E, okay. So you'll be yourself. Obviously, you'll be the acquisitions rep. And then Leo, be the seller. And just, you know, be your typical seller that's, you know, confused about why I'm getting the postcard and, you know, might have some interest in selling depending on the price. And then throw in the two things about, you know, whenever
you offer a
range. Yeah, mm-hmm. your offer's too low, and then at some point when you come around to that number, however Elizabeth gets you to that number, at some point throw mm-hmm. in, well, listen, I'm going to need to have my attorney review it. That way Elizabeth can practice handling those two objections. And then, just keep in mind, you know, like you've been doing, using the diagnostic drill and the softening statements, and mm-hmm. try not to think about it too much. I mean, you can have, obviously, the cheat sheets in front of you, which is great, but you've been doing awesome as far as just making it very natural, and I don't want you to get caught up into thinking how you're going to answer. Just kind of let it go. Just be natural, and if you screw up, good. That's why we're doing the role playing. So,
okay. Okay, good.
Okay. All right. You guys take it. I'll put myself on mute so you guys don't hear any background noise, but you guys go for it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm calling.
Hi, good morning. This is Elizabeth. How may I help you?
Hi, I keep receiving these mailers, and I don't know why. Like, I'm not interested in selling my house right now.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you know, typically people who call us, they want to know what we do, how we do it, and how much we can offer for the property, those kinds of things. Reason probably why you're getting those mailers is because we typically buy properties in that area. So you mentioned you weren't interested, or you were interested in selling your property, or maybe just trying to see if we could give you an offer.
Well, I mean, if everything is sellable in this life, right? So
correct.
It's a good offer. I take it. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, perfect. Do you have about maybe 3 to 5 minutes, and maybe we can chat for a little bit, and I'll ask you some quick questions about the your situation, maybe the condition of the property as it applies?
Yeah, I have a couple of minutes.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Besides that, was there anything else maybe you were hoping to find out today?
Not really.
Okay. Not a problem. So great. Let's move forward. And after we're everything said and done here on the phone call, you can feel free to let me know if it makes sense for you to move forward with me. Okay.
Sure. All right.
Awesome. I'm so sorry. I did not get your name at the beginning of the call. Would you mind telling me?
Yeah, it's Alfredo.
Okay. Alfredo. And really quickly, what is the property? What is your property address?
You should have it.
Actually, I should, but I don't. And the reason why is because we send out mailers to so many zip codes that we don't have the actual addresses on the file. So we should. It would be great because you can just call and I have it. But if you don't mind providing it for me, I can just pull it up really quickly. It's going to take me less than a minute.
All right. 134 Homestead Drive.
134 Homestead Drive. Alfredo, is this the best number to contact you on?
Yeah.
Perfect. Do you have an alternate number in case we get disconnected?
No, that's fine. This is my this is my personal number.
Oh, okay. So this is your cell phone?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And what about an email in case we need to perhaps email you later on?
No, I don't like to give out my email.
No problem. We don't want you to do something you don't feel comfortable with at all. So that's not an issue. Alfredo, do you mind telling me a little bit about just the general condition or layout of the property?
Yeah, I bought it recently, about 3 years ago. I put some money into it. So, you know, it's a pretty good condition overall, I'll say. And it's a 3-2, just regular, living room, dining room, and the three bedrooms are kind of separated throughout the house, and the two bathrooms are one in the main room, and the other one is like for guests.
Okay, got you. So you have one in the master room, and then you have one outside for the guests. And what could you say about the roof? Nothing in detail, just overall. Maybe.
Roof is roof was replaced when I bought it. It was like 5 years old, and be around 8 years now. But it has no leaks or anything.
Okay, we don't like leaks, right?
Oh no, it's not. Now it's raining like crazy, and
I know.
Yeah,
I know. Take your canoes out. After that, is the property? Are you? You're living in it right now. You mentioned, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And if we were to buy this property from you, say, would you? Are you looking to maybe sell within the next 30 days? Are you, or were you hoping you need maybe get a little more time?
No.
Are you?
Like I said, I mean, I'm not into selling. I just got this postcard. That's why I'm actually giving a call, because I wasn't interested. So, yeah, I was wondering how much you guys can offer.
Yeah, you were just kind of like feeding the curiosity there. And let me ask you, do you know more or less if you did decide to sell what you were hoping to get back money-wise, meaning like cash in your pocket, revenue, if you were to sell?
Well, not really. I was hoping you can give me an offer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I could definitely do that. One quick question regarding your property that I have. Do you know if in that area, have you seen any properties that have been recently sold that you can tell me more or less what they sold for? I guess what I'm looking for?
Not really. I had no idea. I bought my house like 3 years ago, and I remember we did a comparables analysis with a realtor, and the houses were going around. Yeah, 100, 150, and I bought it cheap back then. So, but I have no idea how much they're going now.
Got it. I'm looking here in the public records, and I see that it's under Alfredo Lopez and Martha Lopez. Is Martha?
My wife, yeah.
So Martha is your wife. Perfect. Is this something that you maybe, do you want me to discuss with Martha on the phone as well, Alfredo? Now I can definitely do that. We can chime her in on the call if you want me to also relay the information to her, or do you want me to just discuss it with you for now?
Not really. I mean, like I said, I mean, if you can tell me right now what you guys offer for these properties, mine. Mm-hmm. That'll be fine.
Yes.
It's just to take out information right now. I'm not, I'm not thinking of moving or anything. So,
So I'll be honest with you, Alfredo. Typically, we have purchased properties before in that area, and we've purchased anywhere between 75,000 to 110,000 is the range of where we've seen ourselves purchasing properties in that area.
No, that seems too low. Like I said, I mean, I bought this property back in 2013, 13, 14, and I bought it for almost 80,000. That's 3 years.
Okay,
ago. I was expecting more.
You were expecting more than, let's say, what, 115?
Oh yeah, Oh yeah, I mean,
given the,
I mean, like I said, I bought it around 80, and then I put some money into it. So after 3 years, I was like, yeah, it's a bit more.
Yeah, no, and I hear you. And I mean, I appreciate you at least being honest with me with regards to my offer being too low. We have that's typically our range. I usually like to go out and take a look at the property because we, you know, without really having the merchandise in front of you, you're sort of like just maybe thinking of numbers and sort of like comparing it to what you've purchased before. But if let's say money wasn't the issue, do you think that my offer, and money is always the issue, but do you think that my offer would resolve any other problems for you? Meaning, you tell me, listen, I know it might not be, I could probably put more money in the property and get more out of it and maybe spend a little more time, but it would just make me drag on a problem that I have or that I'm trying to get rid of. Do you see yourself in that situation at all, or?
Well, like I said, I mean, it was depending on the offer. Like, it becomes an issue because, yes, I would like to move maybe north sometime with my wife now that I don't have kids around me. Probably moving, yeah, somewhere in the with my wife. I don't know where, but maybe somewhere north. You know, I was hoping to get maybe somewhere in the 200s, and that's going to change things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I see. I mean, we, again, I gave you a range of where we've been at before. Sometimes we're not what everybody is looking for. We can't help you. I know you said you mentioned you wanted to move up north. We've actually lent a helping hand to other homeowners in a way that maybe it's not with an offer, but we've actually helped a lot of homeowners relocate and gotten that burden off of their back in a way, if you could say that. So if that's something we can help you with, listen, I would be more than glad to incorporate that into that help into our offer. So I think it might be worth me and my partner maybe stopping by the property and taking a look at it and meeting with you when the missus in person, if you don't mind, and we can maybe further discuss it there and tell you what other tools we can have to alleviate and maybe get you to where you want to be up north, you know, in a nice, I don't know what state you were thinking. Do you have any state in mind that you maybe wanted to move to?
Yeah, maybe somewhere here in Florida.
Oh, so you want to remain in Florida?
Port St. Lucie, so yeah.
Oh, I love Port St. Lucie.
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself, like on a house by the beach? On a condo. Let's say you sold your property in Miami. Where would you go? Would you go to a place by? I would go to a place by the beach, but that's just me, you know. Obviously.
Yeah. I mean, if I can get what I wanted, really. Your name was Lisa. Was it Lisa? Your name?
My name? Elizabeth.
Yeah. Oh, Elizabeth. So yeah, Elizabeth. Like I was saying, if I can get maybe more than I paid and I invested in this property, but then I always think the way I think properties real estate goes in Miami is pretty aggressive, so I was expecting a lot more than that. Something else is that like I don't commit to anything before my lawyer reviews it, so that's something that
I agree. And I don't think I got to ask you, do you have any mortgages or that you're maybe still paying on this property or just property taxes right now?
No, not really. I mean, I asked for a small loan, about $30,000 for the repairs I did. And I think it's pretty low now, maybe 15K or so.
Okay. Oh, so you even had to borrow money to get these repairs done.
Yeah, no.
We buy properties as is. We wouldn't put any closing costs on your side. We don't go with realtors. So I just wanted to sort of like share, what else we could offer. I would love to meet you, and Miss Miss Martha in person and maybe try to look at the property and try to see it in person, exactly what it has to offer. I'm going to be in the area, I think sometime this afternoon between 3 and 6. Does that time work for you to meet me? It's going to be close to maybe 40 minutes, 40, 45 minutes tops. And I can give you, after we look at it in person, you know, we can present you with the offer right then and there. And if you definitely need to take it to your attorney, I have no issues with that. I mean, we want you to go ahead and feel comfortable with what you're doing. So if your attorney reviews it, would there be anything else? Maybe let's say you're like, listen, Elizabeth, I like it. I like your numbers. I like what you can offer. I just need my attorney to take a look at it. Do you see anything else preventing you from moving forward?
Well, that's you put me on the spot there because I wasn't thinking about meeting or anything, but I was more concerned about the price though. You said you were, you know, 70 and 100, 110, something like that. So like, I'm not too crazy for that. Like I said, I was expecting more. But again, I mean, if you guys can prove it, I'll be more than happy to, you know, get your offer and send it to my attorney so he review it, you know. I don't know if you guys do that, but.
Yeah, we don't have a problem with that. It happens all the time. Everybody wants to make sure that everything is being done correctly. And with us, it's not an objection at all. So since you're looking to, I was just thinking right now when you were mentioning you were trying to get a little bit more, have you tried to list the property, put it up in the market, you know, expose it, see what comes back? It might take a little bit.
No, not really.
A year.
I wasn't thinking of selling though. Since you guys, you know, I've seen this letter like a couple of times in my mails. I was like, right, people might be desperate buying a house, you know, and, that's why I called.
But I mean,
I wasn't thinking of. I got some friends, they are brokers, and I'm pretty sure they can put it off in the market, but I don't like the whole idea of showing my property and, you know, strangers getting into my property and stuff like that. I mean,
that's something you're going to have to come to terms with if you decide to list it, because it's the only way you can promote a property, and, you know, you'll get the knocks on the door maybe 2 to 3 times a day. But, you know, we're not everybody's cup of tea. It is, maybe we're not what you need. I think at this point it might be even advisable for you to, if what you're looking is a higher offer, and you know, maybe what, $20,000-$30,000 more, you're willing to give up, it could take maybe like a year or something, and then you have your typical closing costs, and you'll get it sold. You know, I don't see a reason why you wouldn't if you find a good realtor. It might just take a little more time, maybe a little bit more money to put in the property, because people are usually always looking for turnkey. And I'm sure your property is a beautiful property. But, you know, it's the demand you're trying to meet. Do it that way. I mean, we're not what everybody needs. We sort of like, this is what we kind of like have to offer. And maybe try to do it that way. Try to list it, put it out there, see what you can get. See what it brings back, what the property tells you. Like, the property's going to tell you, listen, you're listing it too high, or nothing's coming back, or I'm getting exactly what I asked for. Try doing it that way. Because we, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that I didn't want to interrupt, but I need to go. So you said your best offer would be like what? 115 or 110, 115, somewhere there.
You know, so somewhere we've purchased anywhere from 75,000, from what I can recall, to 115. Granted, it if I don't look at the property, I know you said you didn't like showing it. We sort of like have to assume it needs all repairs because we're not really looking at it. But if you allow me to just go meet you guys for a second and just take a look at the property, I can work out my, you know, my best numbers and. With an offer.
I'll save your number, and if anything, I'll talk to my wife and see from there what we're gonna do.
Okay, of course. And I gave you the other option of listing it with a realtor. So I'll keep my number. I'll try to circle back with you if I don't hear from you within the next couple of days, if that sounds okay. And, you know, think about it and let me know. Weigh out your options at this point. Okay?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Okay, Alfredo.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We'll be in touch.
All right.
Click. Bye.
Okay, guys. All right, cool. So why don't we do this? Because I wrote down several things here as you guys were role playing. Just some points that I wanted to kind of touch on. Leo, why don't you go first? Like, actually, Elizabeth, give me what's your kind of assessment as far as like, you know, how you did.
Oh my god.
What do you obviously, it sounds like this call probably went longer than like your typical average call, but it was good because there was a lot of things to kind of dive into.
Yeah. Yeah, Leo, so, like,
what did you think?
That's it. Learning curve for sure for me, in the sense that I typically try, I've never given out a range on the phone. Let's just put it that way. Like, let's be honest. I always try not to give out a range on the phone on the calls that I've taken. So it was the first time that I had to deal with giving a range and right off the bat, you know, the objection, and how to deal with that. So that's why I'm like definitely a learning curve for me. Just because I always look for like the motivation first without hitting the numbers. And then I felt like the gentleman really didn't have a lot of motivation. Like, yeah, he wanted to move up north, but, you know, he's complacent in his property at the moment where he's put money into it. So we have to deal with, okay, what else can we offer about aside from a good offer or an offer that's like that makes glitters come to his eyes or something like that. And so that was definitely, I don't know how I handled it. I want to make sure I hear back from you guys, because with throwing out a number and like an objection right off the bat without even having to look at the property or up front it was a little bit scary for me. I mean, but, and then at the end, when we sort of like let go and he wanted to think about it, I didn't know if to like, you know, I did the takeaway. Why don't you try putting it on the market? We're not what everybody needs, et cetera, et cetera. Right. I don't know. I didn't know if it was a good idea to like circle back with him or just try to get that appointment. But then also I didn't want to seem like I was like pushy, you know, with like, but let me go to your house, you know, like, so definitely looking forward to your feedback. Cause I feel confident, you know, I feel like I handled it the best way I could for sure. But I want to learn from the feedback.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Leo, I'll give you my thoughts after Elizabeth, but Leo, what do you think? What was your assessment? Like, what do you think she did good? And then what do you think were, you know, maybe some areas where, you know, she could have improved and maybe handled it a little different?
I think that dealing with some motivated sellers, now that we have so many campaigns going on and we getting calls and follow-ups and stuff, I would have been like negative right at the back. Like I'll say like right away when the guy said like, I think that offer is too low. That was very good. She did good when, she kind of went to, the whole, you know, the situation maybe doesn't apply for you and whatever. We're not the best for you. Like I'll start like saying, I think we are not the best for you, at this moment. Like if you want maybe more for your house, like I'll go right away with a realtor thing. And I know that's going to kind of bring people back. Yeah. But try to like with these kind of sellers, like what I'll do, like Leo will do is like, I'll try to like, you know, go and not try to like cut him off like that, but maybe, you know, try to in your head, you're thinking like it's a next. Just go to the next lead. That's it. This is not a good lead because you spend time, maybe 10 to 15 minutes more than you should with somebody that you can take another call with, you know, maybe somebody that's more motivated than that person. That's my approach.
Right.
But you did good. I mean, it's a matter of finding out touching on that pain. See, I never told you, I actually told you before that I didn't want to move. And then I said, yeah, I'd probably be looking to move up north and, you know, maybe Spurs and Lucien, whatever. That's why we got into the whole conversation, which is good. But it wasn't, you know, people need to think about things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's true. That is true.
Okay. So yeah, actually, Leo, I have a different take on that. I would not, if you have a conversation, like I wouldn't be cutting a conversation short with a seller if, just based on the fact that they're not more, now granted, I don't, you know, I don't want you guys on the phone with a seller for 45 minutes, just like shooting the breeze. Right. But in that particular call, the way that it went, I would, like, I would disagree, or I kind of look at it from a different perspective that I don't think she went on too long. You know, she was engaged in a good conversation with the seller. The seller's not, wasn't very motivated, but that doesn't mean that there can't be a deal for us to you know, to do this. So I wouldn't look at it from that perspective personally, Leo, that, you know, how you should be looking to just move on. Like, you know, it's quality, not quantity. Right. So I don't want you to really like look at these leads that don't have motivation. Like, oh, how can I get off the phone quickest? And I don't think that's what you were saying. The only reason I bring it up is I caution you not to try to cut the conversation short just because you don't feel like there's a whole lot of motivation, because I think you gave her enough wiggle room when she threw out the range. Yeah. You did say that the offer was low, but it sounded like that was a call that I would definitely say it's worth an appointment, and that's what you were going for. So Elizabeth, here's the feedback that I wrote down. So several things at the beginning of the call, like, first of all, this is good. I want you to like not to feel a little bit out of your comfort zone. And that's the whole purpose of the role playing. It's so you can mess up and screw up, because the more that you do this, the more comfortable you're going to feel. So it wasn't one of your better calls. I think like the last role play we did a couple days ago, like you knocked that one out of the park. That one was awesome. This one, I think it started off a bit shaky. One thing I wrote down here is, well, first of all, let me start with a positive. As always, good energy, good use of softening statements, which obviously, as you know, builds rapport. At some points you got like personal with the seller as far as like, where are they looking to move? And this, so I think you did a great job, you know, just building rapport and very friendly, good energy. I really like the fact that at one point, you know, you looked up in the public records, his wife was on a title, and you brought that up and you tried to get her involved in the conversation because, you know, she was probably a decision maker. So I think that was awesome that you did that. Really, really good job using the picture perfect question with the whole house by the beach thing. Be careful. You said at some point you were like, oh, personally, I'd want a house on the beach. You know, it's okay. I did. Because maybe that guy hates the beach, you know? And so right there, you just like, you know, so be careful throwing out your opinion or like what you would do in a certain situation. But I think it was good that you used that picture perfect, like, you know, that picture perfect question about the house by the beach. A couple things I wrote down here that I think, you know, just to kind of be careful for, and keep an eye out for is on two or three different occasions, you were speaking over the seller. Especially at the beginning of the call, you guys had that a little bit of that awkwardness where like he was speaking and you were speaking and then you guys both paused because you were both speaking. So be careful, try to listen more than you talk. And I think on this particular call, you got very chatty. Right. And what I mean by that is particularly the part where you started talking about you were doing the takeaway, which was good. I think you did a good job of using a takeaway as far as pushing back on him. Hey, you know, maybe you should list the property with an agent, even though it might take you up to a year and, you know, you got commissions and you got to show the property, but you took it too far as far as like, you just kind of, there was a point there where you went on. And as I was writing it down, it was interesting because Alfredo as the seller said something like, oh, listen, I have to go. And I obviously, I didn't know he was going to say that. I'm glad he did, because I felt listening to you guys that you just kind of, you started rambling there and you just went on and on about, so be careful with that. And I think you went a little too long there and got too chatty. So on most of these calls, I think a good rule of thumb is you want to listen more than you speak. And in this particular call, I think you probably did more talking than listening. I still think you handled it well overall. I just feel like, you know, in that particular section, I think you went on a little too far. But again, that's okay. That's the purpose of, you know, doing these role plays. And look, to be honest, the fact that you've been at this a month and a half, where you're at now is like ridiculous in a good way. So you're kicking
Thank
ass.
You.
You're doing really well. And again, I know, you know, this is pretty new to you, but you're a natural on the phone. I just think it's certain things to kind of keep in mind. What else? So one thing I wrote down here is when they asked you something about, I think the seller asked you something about not having the address, or you should have it. Again, I think that was a section where maybe you got a little too chatty and you're like, yeah, you're right. You know, I should have it.
But yes.
I would just say, like, listen, you know, my apologies, Mr. Seller. Typically, I have the address at the moment. I'm not in front of my computer. And then boom, move on to the next thing. Like, you just have a quick second to give me, you know, you don't have to go on and on about how you should have the address and this and that and how you remail all these different zip codes. You want to try to make it sound more personal as opposed to like a blanket. So you could have said something like, you know, look, this is one of the areas where we buy properties. And, you know, I typically have the address, but right now I'm not in front of my computer. Do you just have a quick second to give me the address?
Got you. That's true.
Yeah. Yep. So I would have probably just approached it that way. Okay. So as far as asking for an email address and asking for a price, I think if you would have asked in the negative, you probably would have put yourself in a better position to get the answer, the response from him. So like when you asked for the email, you said something like, oh, what's your email? Or I forgot how you asked him. You just asked him a direct question. Same thing with the asking. I think you asked him.
I said, you wouldn't have an email address in case we need to email you. Or do you have an email address in case we need to?
Yeah, exactly. I think you asked him directly, do you have an email address?
Yeah.
That's not a bad question to ask, but I think what I have found is that when you ask in the negative, they're either going to confirm what you just said, which is you're building rapport, which is good, or they're going to correct you and give you the email or give you the price. Same thing with the price. Instead of asking, you know, what are you looking to walk away with, cash in your pocket or something to that effect, you know, you could have said something like, you know, listen, Alfredo, I'm guessing, I know, you know, you weren't really thinking about selling and, but if you do, I'm guessing you don't have any idea what you'd like to walk away with or something like that. You're not always going to get them to give you a number, but I think you put yourself in a better position to maybe get that number from them.
Okay, that's true. Okay.
So that was a couple of things. Let me see here. You used a couple of words that were curious to me. You used the word revenue at some point. You know, like when you were asking about the price and what the seller wants. Use the word revenue. That's more, you're probably not the best word to use there.
I don't even know.
I think you just got caught up in the call and that just kind of came to you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you used that word. And the other word you used at some point that you kind of threw me off is you said something about merchandise. You're like, if you don't have the merchandise in front of you or something like that, you said.
Oh, cause
you remember that?
I said because I'm like, I'm trying to, I got caught in my own head, like in my own thoughts, thinking of how to explain to him that if I don't see the property, maybe I cannot give him our best offer. So I put an example of like, you know, if you don't have the merchandise in front of you, you don't know exactly what you could offer for it. It was like, I used it in an example, but it like correlates or maybe it doesn't with the whole, like with the property and all that. So yeah, those two words were...
Right. So those two words, you kind of threw me for a loop when you said those. The other thing is, and here's kind of the last point, and then I want to address your whole thing about wanting to meet with him at the property. Before I say that, the other thing you said is that at one point you said money is always the issue, which is not necessarily true.
Right.
That's right. Matter of fact, as you know, because, you know, how many closings have... Like on the TC side, how many closings have you processed for us? You know, probably over 100. Like,
exactly.
In a lot of cases, these sellers can get more money from other people, but they choose to work with us because of A, B, or C reason. Like, right, it's
they face
how we related to them. How? What was that, Leo?
No, I'm just kidding, bro. Keep going.
Oh, okay. I didn't even catch you. But no, yeah. So money isn't always the issue. In a lot of cases, it is. So I wouldn't necessarily use a blanket statement like that, especially one that might not necessarily be true. So just kind of be careful. But look, overall, I think you handled it well. It wasn't like one of your sharpest calls, but again, considering like you started this a month and a half ago, and I think you did a great job of using the script, building rapport, softening statements, the diagnostic drill. Like you used a bunch of tools, which I think was awesome. Go ahead.
Oh, I used to feel a little more uncomfortable on the phone before because it was so new to me, and it's just like the practice. I feel like it's helping me.
Yeah.
Oh, it definitely is. No, I'm telling you, you're doing awesome. I was gonna make one last point before we hop off here.
Okay.
As far as you mentioned something when you were kind of giving your analysis of how you did, you mentioned something about wanting to meet him at the property. One little hook that I like to throw in there when I'm talking to sellers and they're just not feeling the price or the range that I gave them. I said, listen, sometimes when we see the property, we realize that we can pay a little more based on the condition, et cetera. So it's possible that this is just a range. This is not an offer for your particular property. I'm just kind of giving you a range of, you know, what we've seen some properties sell for, you know, what we've paid for certain properties in the area. Your property might be in a little better condition. You're not committing to paying more, but what it does is it gives them hope that maybe you can pay more. And if they're if there's a bit of an objection with showing you the property and you really want to set the appointment because you think there's a deal to be had, you think you can help, think we can get the deal, then I like to throw that in there sometimes. Just careful not to commit to pay more, but say, listen, once I see it, it's possible that we can even pay more just depending on the condition and everything. So would this afternoon be a good time for you, or maybe tomorrow? Or so that's kind of how I like to approach that.
I actually wrote that down because it's gonna help me. I wrote what you just said because I think it's amazing.
Yeah, but I think it was good that you said I lost my train of thought. You said something when you were talking about that whole thing. That you have to assume, you know, if we don't get a chance to see it, we have to assume it needs everything. So I think that was really good that you highlighted that. Cool. That's all I got. I mean, overall, I think you did a pretty good job. So, but yeah, I don't know, Leo, Elizabeth, any like final parting thoughts here?
No, I love all the feedback because like I said, to me was that I was a learning curve. So I appreciate the feedback. I never get mad at it. I will never get upset. I mean, I take it as definitely constructive criticism. So whatever you guys want to notes and pointers and tips to give me, I welcome them with open arms because I haven't been doing it for as long. So I take down my notes and like what you just said, Alex, about the offer and if we look at it, it's possible we can offer a little bit more, like things like that is where I learn actually, you know?
Yeah, no, and I'm telling you, you're doing awesome, and I love the mindset and the attitude you have about just how coachable you are. Leo's the same way, so that's awesome. I think you guys are both getting sharper and sharper each day, and I really think the not only the acquisition manager training that we do every week, but ever since we started role playing on a daily basis, I really like I see the improvement. So cool.
Yeah.
Leo, you got anything else, man? Or are we pretty much done here?
No, I was going to tell you guys an example from motivated sellers and try to build that, you know, rapport right away instead of just like cutting them off wasn't what I meant. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to like, all right, yeah, you're not motivated. Ciao. No, not like that. But what I was saying was like, right. What I was saying was like, you know, this deal that we just got, Maria Marin. This lady, we've been following up with her for over a year. And I remember when I first spoke with her, she wasn't motivated at all. She actually told me, I'm not interested. Stop calling, something like that. So I placed the follow-up to, I think it was three to four months. And when I called her after 3 to 4 months, she was more motivated. She said, you know what? I don't, the tenants that I have right now, they are a pain. They are destroying the house and blah, blah, blah. I want to get rid of it. So, you know, all of a sudden she's motivated, right? So that was a good thing. Like, of course, we don't mark anybody like not interested or rent unless they are like not interested or rent, of course. But in this case, I wouldn't keep on like talking with the guy because I sense that, you know, my perspective, I wouldn't go so deep in it because I know that I'll touch again with him, like maybe in about 3 months from there. You see?
Yeah.
Right. So that's why I said that, not cut off, but kind of go and say, okay, I understand you. You know what? If you ever change your mind, you know where to reach me. And is it okay if I can call you maybe in a couple of months from now? Usually,
yeah.
I get like a desk right away from people.
Right.
And then that's what you do.
It's a good point.
Couple of 3 months.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. Yeah. And it's true, like you guys know this. It's the money's in the follow-up, you know, and that's why we switched months ago to not sending offers on, like, when people are just not motivated at all and it's retail, there's no distress. Like, let's not send that offer like we used to. Let's keep them in the follow-up queue because essentially we send the offer and we just kill the follow-up process. They know exactly where we stand and there's really not a whole lot of need for them to keep communication with us. So, yeah, guys, no, awesome job. That's cool.
Thank you.
I know we got leads in Podio and then obviously cold calling. So, Leo, you have an appointment at 10 now, right?
Yeah, I'm leaving my house right now.
All right, cool. I'll let you go, man. Give us a call after, man. Let's get this one locked up, right?
Dale. All right, guys.
All right, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, guys.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.